Welcome to this Sunday message for Sunday the 25th of August 2024. We are continuing our series on the subject of a question of motive. This is the second lesson in this process, and let's just read a scripture or two before we get started. Psalm 51 verse 10 to 11 reads as follows: Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, we read the following: The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We pray that it will find access in our hearts. May we receive it meekly, that it may do what you designed for it to do in our lives, producing fruit not only for ourselves, but also for those around us, and most importantly, for your great and wonderful kingdom. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. And we come against every wicked spirit that would try and prevent this word from reaching those for whom it was designed. And we thank you that your word, Father God, will not return to you void, in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Last time we were talking about the importance of your and my motive. In everything we do, what matters the most, as far as God is concerned, is our heart. Why are we doing what we do? And this whole subject is very vast, it's very involved, and we are going to be looking at it step by step and asking the Holy Spirit to unfold to us as we go along the information that we need to negotiate this life that we have on earth and come to the end of it successfully. We mentioned last week that if we look at our lives as a journey, it's important to have the right compass bearing, especially when we feel like we've lost our way, when we are disorientated, when things are not going the way we think they should go or we would want them to go, and even when things are going well in our own minds. We read last week that sometimes we think we're doing very well, but God looks at the heart. It's possible to be doing well and missing the mark, and to question whether we are hitting the mark when things are not going as well. Be that as it may, the point we made is that God looks at the heart. That heart, in a sense, is our compass. In days of old, travelers going on long journeys used for their compass what is known as a lodestone. A lodestone, very simply stated, is a piece of rock that for whatever reason has become magnetized. Some suggest it's caused by lightning. Nobody really knows. But a piece of rock that's being magnetized was regarded as a lodestone. In Old English, lode actually means pathway, pathstone. And the point about it is, if you took a shard of that particular rock and you suspended it or floated it in a way that it could move easily, it would line up automatically with the world's magnetic field, the Earth's magnetic field. In that way, the traveler could decide which way was north and which way was south. And because of that, one could know, generally speaking, what direction they were headed. Now, if we look at our heart, our spirit man, as it were a lodestone, the piece of apparatus inside of us that will give a true bearing, no matter where we are, what our circumstances are, what the surroundings look like, that lodestone can give us true direction. Now, in a sense, your and my heart, the Spirit of God inside of us, is that lodestone. And the key to knowing at any stage whether or not we are on the right track is to refer to that part of us, the spirit man inside of us, the part of us that is God. Now, that sounds all good and well, but the complication comes in with the fact, as we mentioned in the last lesson, that the enemy of your and my soul knows this so well. And you see, his thinking, his strategy is very simple. If he can wreck, as it were, the magnetism in that lodestone, it will give the wrong bearing. And if we are relying on some piece of apparatus that is faulty, the enemy of our soul doesn't have to bother about us anymore. He can leave us to our own devices and we will self-destruct. Our compass has been damaged. Having said that, one must understand that if you and I want to come to the end of this life having fulfilled our destiny, the starting point is to ensure that this heart of ours is in good working order. That's the starting point. There does come a time, obviously, when we speak about maintenance, but we have to begin with the right piece of apparatus. We must know that the compass is right when we set out. We read in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We need to bear in mind that all of us were born into sin. If I could put it this way, by virtue of the fact that we are humans, means that to start with, we are born with a defective compass, a defective spiritual heart. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, as most of us realize, the starting point is, of course, to get that heart restored, what the Bible refers to as being born again. I don't want to spend too much time on this subject, but every human being at some stage in his or her life, if they want to fulfill the purposes of God on this earth, must bow the knee to the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is imperative. If that hasn't happened in a person's life, no matter what they do, as far as God is concerned, their life will not be a success. That might sound strange to people who have been applauded for the great success that they have achieved in life. But remember, we perform before an audience of one. And in the great scheme of things, success ultimately on this earth is when we produce for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. You can be the greatest football player running onto the field, ready to play football. You get hold of a ball, it's rather a wrong shape. You kick it despite the wrong shape because of your skill. You go through the other side and you kick this ball through the goals and you think, wow, I've scored a tremendous goal. When you turn around, nobody's cheering. In fact, they're all looking at you rather strangely. Then you discover that this is not a football field. This was a rugby field. You've missed the boat completely. Sad to say, many people will go through this life. Perhaps they've done all the courses on positive thinking, on achievement, all the education necessary. They've reached the top of the pile. And then the day comes and they shuffle off this mortal coil, as they say, only to discover they missed the boat completely. The compass was wrecked, you see, from day one. In fact, the compass wasn't even working. God looks at the heart. So the starting point for you and I to negotiate life successfully is obviously to get born again, get the right compass. But it doesn't stop there. There's something else that needs to be mentioned. I'd like to just quickly read Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Who can bear a broken spirit? Despite being born again, it is possible that for many reasons, a few of which we are going to discuss now, your and my spirit can be damaged, wounded. And you see, in that condition, although we are born again, our spirit man is renewed, there might be built in, despite this experience, certain defects that, if left unattended, will mean that our lives will be dogged with disappointment, frustration, and ultimately failure to achieve the purposes of God. If that compass is on board, it appears to be working, but there's something deep down inside of it that is not right. It cannot give an accurate bearing. A friend of mine in the ministry explained something to me. He had a vision which correlated with many of the experiences that he'd had in ministry. And we see the same things happening in our own ministry. He saw a vision of a beautiful eagle on a perch. This eagle spread its wings and took off. Majestic sight, powerful down flapping of its wings, and it began to rise up into the air. But it would reach a certain height, and then all of a sudden, that beautiful bird would come crashing down. And the reason being that its claw had a band around it, and there was a chain holding it down to the earth. That bird tried to get going, but inevitably, after a short while, came crashing down. Many children of God find themselves in that position. They've had some experience or other. They take off saying, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do everything right. They flap those wonderful wings. And then for some reason, time and time again, they come crashing down. Now the problem is not with them. The problem is that there's something structurally wrong. That chain that binds. And we find this happening in many, many people. They want to serve God. Their hearts are good. Their motives are good. The only real motive that is of any value to God is that first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. We need to love God. Everything we do must be based on this fact that we love God. But despite having that desire, so many set out trying to serve Him, trying to do the best they can, and something comes crashing in, pulls them down time and time again. And sadly, far too often, people that have been in that position come to the place where they give up and they say, maybe God doesn't want me to. I remember one lady. She was a teacher at the school where I was teaching. And she had a number of sad experiences in her life. And she actually stated that she believed God had made her just to sin. That's ridiculous, as we all know. And sadly, I didn't get a chance to try and correct her. But that's the thinking. And you see, we need to grasp that sometimes, very often, it's not the person's fault. Can I go just a bit further? As far as God is concerned, even if it is the person's fault, His desire is for people to be set free. Now, how can our heart be damaged? Well, the primary way that the enemy tries to damage you and my spirit man, to inflict structural damage, is through some form of traumatic event. And you see, the devil doesn't wait for you to get old for that event to take place. The earlier, the better for him. He can even inflict this damage in the womb. People that have been through traumatic experiences, perhaps an armed assault, perhaps abuse as a child, perhaps an accident, possibly rejection. That traumatic event can affect the spirit man. It's not just a psychological thing. It's deeper than that. And you see, the devil's trick in all of this is to inflict damage. If that child is damaged in their spirit, and if that damage is not repaired, what will happen? They will try to go through life, but somehow the defect kicks in and they begin the cycle again and again and again. Now, if you and I find ourselves in that position, perhaps we can't break through in certain areas, it is worth taking the trouble to try and discover if there's been some event in your past that could have opened the door. Sometimes you and I might not be aware of it because at the time we weren't conscious. The child in the womb wouldn't know. Very often parents have children and then they say it's a mistake, but another child comes along that they don't really want because of the cost of living, etc. And somehow that child supernaturally picks up that rejection. They fight that rejection for the rest of their days until that is dealt with. The starting point is to identify. And that might take the help of somebody else coming alongside and helping with the help of the Holy Spirit. We might need outside help, people filled with the Spirit, experienced in these things, to come alongside, talk to us, chat about it, look back in the past, pray, and ask God to reveal through the gifts of the Holy Spirit what it is that could have happened. And then you see, once that's brought to light and it's prayed for, and the Holy Spirit, who is the only person that can do this, by the way, the Holy Spirit is given a chance to heal. Once that has happened, the breach has been repaired, then that compass of ours is ready to roll. I need to also add that there is what's called deliverance involved here. The devil's plan is not only to affect us, but to infiltrate us. And you see, when our heart is damaged, that's an open door for him to send his demons into us. Even if we are Christians, by the way, it's possible to have demonic activity operating within us. That doesn't mean we are controlled by the evil spirits, but it means that they have dominion in certain parts of our lives. Before they can be cast out, as it were, that breach has got to be identified and healed. Otherwise, they will just return, and our condition is worse than when we started. That's a whole subject on its own. We just want to mention that here. It's no good trying to navigate through life, but the compass always just gives the wrong reading, and we don't understand why. This could be a reason. Another major reason for you and I to experience distortion, if I can call it that, in our inner man, our heart, is when there is what is known as a curse operating in our lives. A curse operating in our lives is something that we inherit or we bring upon ourselves. The heart of it is when at any stage someone has diverted their worship from the living God to some other God, some occultic power. That's putting it very, very broadly. A curse can continue down the generational line. You and I would not know what our forefathers have done. In societies where there was a lot of warfare, very often what would happen is people would gather together and request the help of some deity other than the living God. In doing so, they'd bring a curse on their life. Other ways of inviting a curse is when somebody involves themselves with any form of occultic activity, reading horoscopes, going to seance, going to a fortune teller. All of these occultic activities open the door for us to come under a curse. And you see, that curse operates in our lives without us realizing it. We can also bring into our homes something that has got occultic significance. We had somebody living in our complex whose husband was a diplomat, and traveling the world, going to many different locations, he brought back a lot of memorabilia, ornaments, etc., one of which was this carving, beautiful carving, some form of precious wood. And she had it in her home, and my wife was ministering to her, and she was encountering certain difficulties. And Janet discerned that this wooden statue was of occultic origin and had brought into this home a curse. Well, she parted with it, and I was tasked with burning the thing, and I must say, it was very hard to burn because the wood was so dense. But the point is this, you and I can do these things without knowing it. And what happens? It brings a curse. What that curse does is it affects our spirit, our heart. And because of that, we try to break free in many areas, and for some reason, we just can't. People that are involved with Freemasonry, for example, all those rituals that they go through, all of them are designed and have the effect of bringing a curse upon the family. And you'll see people that have been involved with this sort of practice, or whose forebears have been involved with it, or relatives, experience terrible things. Things such as abuse, suicide, mental disorder. The list goes on and on. Now, all of those things can't be cured with simple psychological treatment. Psychiatry can't help. Praying until we blue in the face can't help either. What has got to happen? We have to renounce that activity. We have to repent before God. Love the Lord your God is the fundamental principle of our Christian walk. And when we've been involved, or before us, people that are part of our generation have been involved with activity which contradicts that, it brings upon us a curse. Our heart is affected. We are born, as it were, with a defective spiritual heart, and that needs to be addressed. Once again, it can be done on our own. It's very simple, really, just to renounce and to repent of it and to ask for the cleansing of the blood. Remember, Christ died, if we read in Galatians, to redeem us from the curse. We have been redeemed from the curse. No curse can have any hold over us. That's the theory. But for that to happen in practice, we have to address it. We have to discern it first of all, identify it, renounce it, turn away from it. If we've personally been involved, repent of it. And then we can expect the blessing. In that way, you see, we are taking care of the lodestone of our heart. If we fail to do that, our lives will be characterized by misery and unhappiness and defeat in many areas. Once again, this is a subject all of its own, and we've just alluded to it here so that you and I can just have an idea of what's out there and what we need to be aware of. Once again, I encourage us to get help from people experienced in these areas to move forward. But let's just explain something else here. You and I might, in a sense, have been born again, got a spiritual heart going. We might have taken the trouble to make sure that there's no hindrance to our spirit being. But that's not the end of the story. There is this process of maintenance. You might have equipment that's working perfectly when you start out. But if that equipment is not taken care of, the defect can actually materialize later on. And we are going to be discussing a number of things that can happen and the precautions you and I need to take to prevent this from happening. I trust that you'll continue with us as we go on this journey of questioning all the time our motive. Let's make sure that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our body. In the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.